Welcome once again to The Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest today, Richard Grove, usually known by his nickname, Ty. Each week, we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work, sometimes a glimpse into their lives, find out what prompts them to write, and give you an opportunity to hear them read from their work. Richard describes himself as the man of seven P's, poet, publisher, photographer, painter, president, public speaker, and potter. He's had over 100 poems published in periodicals, as well as contributing to over 40 anthologies. As a publisher, he edits and publishes all genre from his growing company, Hidden Brook Press. He's the president of the Canada-Cuba Literary Alliance, founded in 2004. And leads groups of Canadian authors to Cuba on reading and writing tours, and then publishes their work. He's given reading interviews and talks on publishing and writing around the world, including Germany, New Zealand, and Cuba. So, Ty, you're a man who seems to have done almost everything. How about elaborating a little on your roles as the man of seven P's? Perhaps you should add person to the list and make it eight. We'd like to know a little about you.
Hi there, Felicity. Thanks very much for having me. Yes, the man of seven P's. And yes, thanks for adding the eighth P person. Well, I've been a poet for many, many years. I've been a publisher for, I guess, about 15 years. Photographer all of my life. My father helped me purchase my first single-lens reflex camera. Painter, I graduated from Ontario College of Art and have had exhibitions across Canada. And president, I have been the past president of the Canadian Poetry Association, the CPA. I was the founding president of the Brighton Arts Council. And I'm currently, as you mentioned, the president of the CCLA, the Canada-Cuba Literary Alliance. So all of those P's keep me pretty busy.
You started the CCLA in 2004. Tell us about that and how the organization has developed.
Well, the Canada-Cuba Literary Alliance was started strictly because my wife and I started going to Cuba for holidays, and we enjoyed Cuba so much that we continued to go back. Because Kim and I are both writers, and as a writer and publisher, we of course gravitated towards and got to know some Cuban authors. I started doing some poetry workshops in Cuba with Cuban authors, and then eventually I published a book. We launched that book with some Cuban authors, and then on stage at the book launch, I said to the audience, when I get home, I think I'll start the Canada-Cuba Literary Alliance. I went home and I purchased the URL for the organization, and then eventually registered it as a not-for-profit organization. So we've been going for, this is our 10th year.
Yeah, and it's grown a lot, right? And see, it's now a big organization.
Yeah, well, it's not really big, but we certainly have Canadian members from all across Canada, and we have Cuban members from all across Cuba, and even some international members in the United States and Malta and so on.
You've been writing memoirs about Cuba. How many now? You're on your third or fourth?
I'm on my fourth memoir. The very first memoir that I wrote and published was titled From Cross Hill, Views of My Cuba. And that is stories and poems about my travels in Cuba, primarily about the city of Holguín. The title From Cross Hill comes from the fact that in the city of Holguín, there is a large hill with a cross on it, and we walk up the hill, and often I bicycle down the back of the hill And as I say, back down the back of the hill into poverty, because that is where there's lots of barefoot children playing ball in the fields.
That's so, quite a precipitate ride down, isn't it? It's a high hill. I've been to Hoogeen.
Oh, yes. And it's a little bit of a dangerous route. One time I was bicycling down, and I was going very, very slowly, and it was a very steep spot. And I found myself upside down with my bicycle on my back, and a whole group of Chinese tourists were at the top of the hill pointing at me, wondering what I was doing upside down like that. But I survived.
So would you like to read from that particular memoir or one of the other ones?
Oh, well, in fact, from that memoir, I have one of my favorite poems is called Blown by the Breeze of Hope. And it's a little bit of a political poem, but not overtly so. Blown by the breeze of hope. Sweet lemon butterfly of protest pierces pollution, weaving treacherous belching trucks to safety of Paraíso. Royal palms sway resolute in political climate of impending change. The slight, ever so slight breeze of looming capitalism, fanned by hope's false promise, flaps Cuba's red, white, and blue. Our beautiful lemon butterfly perches suckling at the blossom of now, the nectar of content. So I try not to make my poems too political. The reason that one is a little bit of a political poem is just because it covers the notion of content and the climate of change that is happening in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. What about another poem or two?
Well, I do have another poem about Cuba called Circumnavigation, and it is from my collection of short stories and poems titled Psychobabble and the Consternations of Life. That's the title of the book. The poem is titled Circumnavigation. Through the stench caused by 50-year-old rolling steel, robbed of catalytic converters and filters, air is filled with belching fumes from low-grade local petroleum. We keep our heads down as we trudge back to old Havana, fostering our human indifference, as if it were a precious commodity. Squinting from heavy air, we breathe with shallow breaths, hunched, avoiding toxic inhalation. Heads down, we stumble on a sight that steers me involuntarily back, diverting awestruck, magnetized eyes. I am repulsed yet drawn into the rational explanation, mummified skeletal protrusions silently shriek obscenities, matted petrified fur and crushed skull, tail still wagging free in breeze, as if greeting you with bright eyes and slippers. Demanding ponderance turns to 10-second memorial, once loved, petted, fawned over, now the mat of disregard, ignored by hundreds and hundreds every day, month after month, now no longer seen as anything, not even as a sad lump of death. This mummification is now little more than a visual avoidance. Sadder, head down, mind back to dodging stench, we march on with stiffened apathy.
There's an awful lot in that poem. I will have to read it on the page as well as listen to you speak.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Ty. We'll take a short break now.